My pal, Mike Lowe from WGN TV News, is joining us in the studio. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's always good to be back at WGN Radio.
Yes, absolutely. What's happening in McCook? That's what you were coming from. What is your reporting out there on McCook?
We just came down the Stevenson Expressway in heavy traffic from an event with Governor J.B. Pritzker. He was making an announcement about the largest investment in infrastructure in state history, $41 billion to repair the state's roads, bridges, increase safety, work on airports, trails. It's kind of a comprehensive plan called Rebuild Illinois, to kind of get our infrastructure back to where it needs to be.
We have a lot of old bridges.
We do.
And you
see them every day as you drive around the city. And you, I mean, sometimes you look, it's like, that looks pretty creaky, or that looks pretty rusty, or it looks like it's going to, you know, chunks could be coming down pretty soon. But that's what this is all about, is investing in the infrastructure of our cities and our towns and counties all around the state to make sure that we're safe and that we are a state where people can get around easily.
Was this late this afternoon?
This was at about 2 this afternoon.
Okay. Always Friday press conferences always make me suspicious. Why are we burying this at the end of the day? Nobody's paying as much attention to those things. What are we trying to do here?
Well, you know, he was the governor was in Toronto. He was in Canada earlier this week, and he had signed a memorandum of understanding with the mayor in Toronto about trade deals that could possibly come to fruition somewhere down the road. So he was out of town, and I think they wanted to get this done.
Got it. Well, you are the man on the street, and your reporting is exemplary. I love the fact that you embrace history. Your storytelling is nothing short of brilliant, and I always love when your reports come up. They do. I do.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I do try and add some context, and I'm the son of two teachers, so I try to use a little bit more of a literary lens on when you can, kind of the literature of journalism, if you will, and which is kind of rare to be able to do that in broadcast, because a lot of times you're just looking at punchy language and trying to be as concise and short as you can, but on the WGN News, we have so much time.
Yes.
And they allow us time to do stories that are a little bit more in depth, that can breathe a little bit, and where you can, like you said, add context, add history. And I think people in the city kind of rely on Channel 9 for that because
Absolutely.
We're a Chicago station.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny you say that because even though you have a lot of time to do reporting and so forth on TV, when I have guests usually from WGN TV, they're so used to, even 5 minutes is a long time on television, but I could have 20 minutes to talk and they're like zipping through stuff. I'm like, okay, so let's talk a little bit more about...
You went through all my questions.
You did, in like 2 seconds. You did a great story a few weeks ago or a month ago about the CTA and the challenges they're facing. And I quoted a lot of it on the travel show, my travel show on the map. So well done. But, you know, there's a lot of problems there. And it really does start at the top at the CTA.
You know, there's been an effort, I think, from activists, from a number of city council members to take another look at Dorval Carter, the president of the CTA, and say, is he producing results post-pandemic? Chicago lags behind comparable cities in all kinds of categories, whether you're talking about service reductions, whether you're talking about ridership, safety, all of these kinds of measures where other cities seem to have bounced back faster and better than Chicago, even though the CTA is making progress. It's just not the progress that we've seen in other cities. And so at some point, it's gotten to the level where Governor J.B. Pritzker has weighed in. And, without calling for Carter's firing, he said, we need to see a, quote, evolution of leadership at the top of the CTA. It's interesting, though, that Mayor Brandon Johnson has sort of been noncommittal. He said, and in this one in particular, he said he won't discuss personnel issues and that he's always evaluating the people who are in charge of major city departments. He holds 4 seats on the board, or appoints 4 seats on the transportation board, and the governor appoints three. So, so really it is the mayor in control, and we'll have to see how it plays out. Right now it doesn't look like the mayor has an appetite to change that position.
And that was a very stock response he gave as well. Yeah. Yes, he did. You also do some lighter stuff too. I mean, after all that reporting you did on the 75th anniversary of GNTV, which I still love all the things that you did there. But you talked about something, you know, about patients with dementia and Alzheimer's, this Good Memories Choir that you discovered.
There's only one of these in the entire state of Illinois. It's a choir devoted to helping people who are experiencing early to mid-level dementia. And what scientists have found out is that the part of the brain that stores emotions, and usually that's what music evokes, is different from the part of the brain that stores kind of rote facts. And so if you can get people singing, it kind of switches on the brain to give them the sense of being cognitively healthy, even for that brief moment. And there was a time in a, if you watch the story on WGNTV.com, there's a moment when we're interviewing a former UIC physics professor who's pretty far down the road, where he was confused by questions. He was just not really kind of able to respond to basic things, like questions like, what do you do here? What are you doing here? What do you like the choir? Those kinds of things. He was all kind of confused. And then his caregiver suggested they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And you see a smile on his face.
Flashback.
And he immediately remembers the lyrics. And, you know, it was just amazing to see the effect that music can have on the mind. It's almost medicinal.
I love that. And you can catch all these at WGNTV.com, all these stories. All right, we are talking to Mike Lowe from WGNTV News. So talked a little bit about what you're reporting on, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about and share with folks. About a month ago, you posted on Instagram that you've been diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. And what struck me is you're 44. And usually screening for colon cancer doesn't even start really until 45 years old. So it wasn't something that's on top of mind, but you noticed some things weren't normal and you got on it immediately.
Yeah, I started having the symptoms that are consistent with colorectal cancers, one of which is, not to get too graphic here, but if you see blood in your bowel movements or on the tissue paper after you use the bathroom, that's a sure sign that there's something wrong. I was having that. I was having constipation. I was having pain in my lower abdomen. And I also have probably the biggest risk factor, which is my maternal grandfather had colon cancer. So all of those things combined had me thinking, man, there could be something seriously wrong, even though I didn't really want to believe it. I wanted to think to myself, like, oh, this is just what happens when I eat Chipotle.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. And that wasn't what it was. So I got to the doctor, and, you know, after a couple of cursory exams, I went to a specialist, and pretty soon after that, the ball got rolling, and I was having a CT scan, an MRI, colonoscopy, biopsy, blood tests, the whole works, and they were able to determine that I have stage 3C N+ cancer, and I had no idea what any of that meant, but the three, and the C is like the highest level of the most severe level of stage 3, and then the N stands for nodes. And if you have more than four nodes, they just say N+. So there are some issues with some nodes, and they're dealing with that. I'm right now, even as we speak this morning, I was at the Cancer Center at Northwestern Medicine in Lake Forest, undergoing radiation, and I'm taking chemotherapy pills. I'll be on that for 6 weeks. Then I graduate to having the port put into my chest, and I'll do intravenous chemotherapy for about 4 months. And then if all goes well, I'll hopefully be able to have surgery right around Christmas time.
Which could be, you know, Christmas time, you think of gifts. That could be a great gift, you know, to get through that and make it and move forward. Because I know how tough this is. And, you know, you're going to make it through. You're going to be great. It's going to work out every step of the way for you. And But going to the doctor is absolutely the right move. Trying to self-diagnose on the internet, which I've done on similar things in the past, is not a good thing to do.
No, you don't want to
drive yourself crazy.
You don't want to go to like WebMD or just start Googling stuff. But if you go to reputable sources, say Northwestern Medicine's website or the Mayo Clinic or Harvard Medical School or something like that, where you know there's or it's pretty reputable, then you can kind of get a sense. And that's kind of how I was like, man, this might be more serious than just food poisoning or a regular stomach ache. But the point you're making about getting tested and getting checked is one that I can't emphasize enough, because as you said from the outset, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, which is the organization that sets the ages of where preventative screening should take place, in 2021 had just lowered the number from age 50 to age 45.
Right.
And I wasn't even at 45 yet. They may have to look at lowering it again, because the numbers are just increasing exponentially. The American Cancer Society is sounding the alarm about younger and younger people getting diagnosed with colorectal cancers. And as we speak there, and I just want to make sure I get this right, they say of all cancer deaths in people under 50, colorectal cancer is now the number one cancer that causes death in men and the number two cancer that causes death in women. So it's a very serious public health issue. My case is just indicative of that, and that's why I want to talk about it.
And sometimes when you think about cancer, you think about older people, whatever age that might be, but the diagnoses have been rising in people under 50, and especially adults between 18 and 49. So this isn't even a 45, this isn't even a 40, but I really do believe that sharing your story and being reactive and going to the doctor is important, and for you, honestly, to help other people too.
Don't delay getting that colonoscopy. Yeah. Nobody wants to go through that. I get it. You know, like it's an uncomfortable thing to think about a scope going up in that area of your body. And
But you're unconscious.
That's true.
It's a minor detail. It makes it a lot easier.
You know what? That's the thing, is people think it's going to be terrible and you're asleep the whole time. So it's really not that bad. I think there's something in our minds that's like, you know, you don't want that to happen, but it's really not that hard, and it can save your life.
Well, David Jennings from our newsroom came in here, and you need those type of, and you need those friends, and you need to be surrounded by positive people, because that is really how you're going to get through it.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay as positive as possible.
You're going to be fine. It's going to be all right.
And the doctors have told me that this is a curable cancer. And the phrase they keep using is, it's treatable and beatable. And I'm like, well, it rhymes. So it has to work.
It has to be right. It has to be right. Well, here's what I love, too. Like, you know what? I mean, some people, and I think this is sometimes difficult, and it's a downfall for some people, is they just stop working. They stop being active. They stop doing things. And you got to kind of go on and live your life. And I was mentioning off air that I have someone in my life that has stage four in her early 30s, and she's going to work every day, and she's making it happen. And I think that is a big piece of this story, is going out to McCook on a Friday afternoon and talking to the governor and continue doing your reporting while you're feeling good about it.
Yeah, and we were talking about off air last weekend. I felt good enough. I went to Midsummerfest in Andersonville. Yeah. And I went to a dance recital for my goddaughter. And it's like, you know, as long as I'm feeling well enough, I don't need to just sit home and think about cancer all day. I'm trying to, like you said, live my life and enjoy it. And I know I'm very confident that this will have a good outcome. And I'm hopefully at the end of this, we talked about, I can't drink right now, but I'll be cracking open an old style at when this is all over.
I hope so. One of your colleagues, and I won't say who except off air, said, nice interview with the younger, better looking Larry Potash.
Yeah, that was funny. A couple of years ago, somebody wrote in to the station, and we did a whole bit about that.
I forgot about that. Yes.
About how people think that I'm like the younger, quote unquote, better looking Larry Potash. He's much better looking. I mean, if you look into his eyes, it's like you're looking into Lake Michigan. You just get lost.
He's a great guy.
And he's like, you know, 6'3", played college basketball. And I always joke, I'm a below average white guy. You know? So Larry's our star.
You are anything but below average. Trust me.
Thank you, David, for
Thanks,
that.
Dave. Yeah.
All right. You're welcome. You got this, Mike.
Thank you.
You got this. All right. Mike Lowe from WGN TV News. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.